position and your possessions is what gives you a sense of purpose and destiny and security. When that is knocked out of your life, then you have nothing really worth living for. That's the way it works.
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome to Straight Talk Radio with author and senior pastor of New Life Community Church, Mark Jobe. Thank you for tuning in. My name is Joshua Hollick, and I'm here with Pastor Mark. And Pastor Mark, people are listening often on a daily basis, being encouraged by the Word of God. And I just wanted to help people see maybe a little bit more of the ministry that you and the team at New Life are doing. And one of those I wanted to highlight today is called New Life Cities. And tell us about the vision for reaching other cities.
Yeah, New Life Cities is a ministry that we started only a couple of years ago as we started to realize that the population of the world has tipped. And now there's 52% of the world's population live in urban centers. Joshua, they tell us that there's 400 cities in the world that have a million people or more. Imagine that, 400 cities. And so we realize that God has given us the grace to operate in a city like Chicago. And so we have targeted 10 other cities outside of Chicago to plant what we call movement churches, rapidly reproducing disciple-making churches. And so in the last two and a half years, we've planted one in Querétaro, Mexico. Try saying that five times real fast. Querétaro, Mexico, which is an awesome work. Beautiful. Boy, I wish I had time to tell you more about that story. And then we've also planted in Santander, Spain. So we planted in two cities. We're looking at eight more cities. We're exploring Lima, Peru right now and have sent some teams down there. We're exploring some cities in Europe. So pray with us for cities of over a million people that God may be leading us to. And if you have a burden or a heart for a particular city or a connection in a city that you think we may fit well with, then reach out and contact us because we're looking for divine open doors at this time.
Amen. You can find out more at newlifecities.org. Yeah, there's videos there. There's information about where we're looking and how we're praying to be involved in the global work. And we'd love to hear from you. That's newlifecities.org.
Thanks, Josh. We continue on with Pastor Mark's new series entitled Out of Control, How to Let Go of Everything Worthless and Hold On to What Matters Most. Today is the second half of his message called Steering Clear of Reckless Freedom. We'll be in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 23 through 33. Here's Pastor Mark with this edition of Straight Talk.
The Apostle Paul encouraged Timothy to drink wine for his stomach's sake because he had stomach issues. And he said, hey, you need to drink wine because wine, if you've ever been to Africa or some of these developing countries, you realize the water's dangerous to drink. I mean, there's all kinds of bacteria. There's no filtration. It's just there's a lot of stuff you can catch in the water. And so one of the safest things to drink was something that had alcohol in it that actually killed the bacteria and it was healthy for you. So here's the gray area. For some people, and I've known tons of people that come out of extremely alcoholic background. How many of you either have alcoholism in your family or know an alcoholic that's close to you? Just raise your hand. Okay, tons of us. Now, here's the thing. You may say in your life and say, you know what, I have the knowledge. The Bible says, for example, I see Jesus turn the water into wine. They had wine at communion. And, you know, the Bible talks about it. My knowledge tells me that I can drink wine and that which has alcohol in it. Some guy that's just coming out of alcoholism that gave his life to Christ, that was a huge hold on his life. He went to AA. He goes there every week. He's come out of rehab. He says, I have 2 years of sobriety. And he comes around you, and you and your knowledge, you've been a believer for a while, Jesus, you have all the verses, you know, just turn the water into wine, it's no big problem. He comes on over, and you say, hey, how about a glass of wine? He says, no, why? Well, I think it's wrong for me. Wrong for you? Did you know that Jesus turned water into wine? Did you know that, you know, they had wine at communion? Do you know that, this, you know, wine's just a part of the New Testament? And in your knowledge, your puffed up knowledge, you basically say, it's okay, it's right. And this guy coming out of control addiction looks at that and says, well, hey, he's a lot more mature than me. He knows more verses than me. In fact, he quotes his verses in the King James Bible, so he must be mature. And you set that cup in front of him and say, hey, don't get bound up in legalism. And he thinks, mature? I'm not mature. He's quoting Bible verses. He must be right. Chugs one down. Next thing you know, chugs another down, he kicks in a little bit to his old system, his old life, because once you open the door, it's hard to shut it, especially if your life has been out of control in an area, and he's chugging them down all the time. And next thing you know, your knowledge and your liberty and your maturity has just led a brother into drunkenness. And it was your sense of knowledge, it was your quoting of the verses, it was your understanding of Scripture, your puffed up knowledge, because what you didn't ask yourself the question is not, do I know the facts? You should have asked yourself this question, am I operating in love? Not just for me, but those that are around me. Anybody tracking with me this morning? Because this is huge. And so the Apostle Paul says, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Verse 2, the man who thinks he knows something does not yet know as he ought to know. Because knowledge tells you you know a lot, and you know what the limits are and the freedoms are, but love builds up. But the man who loves God, listen, the man who thinks he knows something doesn't really know as much as he thinks he knows. But the man who loves God, the man who loves God, the man who is enamored with God, not just the knowledge of God, but loves God and has a relationship with God, he is known by God. There's a difference between knowing about God and having a relationship with God, and it makes a huge difference in the way we operate and live our lives. So the bottom line here is that knowledge, even though it's good, can be extremely dangerous if it's detached from the sense of love, of maturity. That asks, I think it was Einstein that said, you know, anybody can have understanding or knowledge. It's the application of understanding and knowledge that makes the difference. Anybody can have facts. It's how to apply those facts that really makes a difference. The second thing we see here is not only must we regain control of reckless knowledge, but we must regain control of reckless worship. Notice what he goes on to say, verse 4. He says, so then, about eating food sacrificed to idols. So, all right, you're asking, should I eat food sacrificed to idols or not? We know that an idol is nothing at all in the world, and that there is no God but one God. Hey, you know that little statue that people are, and by the way, in the day that Paul lived, I mean, idol worship was a huge deal. Pretty much it was like the union is today, except everybody had sort of a patron idol. If you were a plumber, you had, you know, the plumbing idol god. And if you were a bricklayer, you had the god of the bricklayers. And if you were a sailor, you had the god of the sailors. And if you were a good sailor, you would celebrate the feast and you'd go out there and you'd be really proud of your patron god that blessed whatever you were in. And so it was a huge thing. And if you didn't show up to the festival in which you honored the god of sailing, then people would look at you, hey, bro, you know, aren't you like in the union with us? You know, we're kind of wondering where your loyalty's at. And so people really had a pressure to get you. You'd go in. Paganism is the worship of a multiplicity of gods, and that was pretty much what existed in their culture. And you say, hey, we're not there anymore, man. I haven't gone into an idol store lately. But let me tell you, you may not have gone into an idol store lately, but the reality is that idolatry is alive and well today, just as it was back then. We become a little more sophisticated in our idolatry. And most of us don't have some totem pole in your living room that you bow to and burn incense to. Although, you know, I've been to some houses like that. But most of you here, probably that's not your issue. You don't have some little statue that, you know, you bow to before every day. And you know, think God is in your house, watching over your house. Most of us, that's not the issue. But idolatry really is anything that you value, anything that you position in life above God. Idolatry can be a car. Idolatry can be your boyfriend. Idolatry can be your career. Idolatry can be your bank account. Idolatry can be your looks. Idolatry can be your friends. Idolatry can be a sport. Idolatry is anything that you take and put before your relationship with God. Anything you believe Here's a good one. Elevating a created good or thing to the ultimate thing, that's God. Or anything you believe that you cannot live without. Or anything that without it, your life would no longer have meaning or make sense. If it's just a good thing and you lose it, you're saddened. If it's a good thing that you've made a God thing and you lose it, you're ready to throw yourself off a bridge. There's a God for everything because anything can become a God. You wonder why when the collapse of the market happened just a few months back, why there were some folks that were throwing themselves off bridges and jumping off, you know, committing suicide and wiping out their family. There were stories like that. Well, what happened? What happened is that once their bank account was wiped out, life made no sense to them anymore. Because if that's your God, if that's what makes your life revolve and turn, if your position and your possessions is what gives you a sense of purpose and destiny and security, when that is knocked out of your life, then you have nothing really worth living for. That's the way it works. I had a friend recently who worked, his boss was all over the papers and, you know, committed suicide, overdose on aspirin, rat poison too in the car. Job knocked out, one time buddies with the governor, all his clout knocked away, facing a couple years in prison, a wife and three kids living with his girlfriend. Life is not worth living, let me end it all. My friend also, 2 days before he committed suicide, called him up and couldn't get through to him because only could talk to his secretary and said, I'd really like to get together and pray with you. Was not able to get through to him. He said, I appreciate that. Right now I can't. Why? That was his life. I've seen guys that I just talked to someone not too long ago. Last week I talked to a guy who doesn't really come to the church, but came to hear a little teaching I did on dating and relationships, and he came up to me afterwards and basically just told me how obsessed he was with this girlfriend that broke up with him a year ago and how he followed her to this state, and he's trying to get back together with her and calling her. I said, bro, you're a stalker. I mean, seriously. No, I just love her. I want to get back together. I said, you know, here's the thing. You know, right now you love her, you can't live without her, but I guarantee you after she rejects you a few times or starts dating someone else, then all that love you feel is going to turn to hate and you're going to be dangerous. And I don't want that because, man, you're like out of control here and you need to get a grip on this. You need to pull back, get away from her, get a life, get healthy on your own, begin to live life without her, get healthy spiritually, emotionally, because you're really dangerous right now. You're scaring me. He vowed he'd do what I told him. We'll see. But you make an idol out of that. My whole life is upside down. I'm following my relationship. Let me tell you, he's not worshiping a totem pole, but I can guarantee you he's got a God. He's made a God out of that woman.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to our Straight Talk radio message called Steering Clear of Reckless Freedom. It's from our series called Out of Control. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of the message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're in verses 23 through 33. Our message is called Steering Clear of Reckless Freedom.
Really, if you read Christianity and if you read the Bible, one of the big things about the New Testament is debunking the idols in our life. A lot of the New Testament has to do with, Paul talks about, you have an idol, you have an idol. Many of us, our idol is self. What's your ultimate purpose in life? Interview people on the street, they say, I want to be happy. I just want to be happy. It's about me, and I want to be happy, I want to be fulfilled. You know, ultimately, it's really about you, and there's nothing wrong with the pursuit of happiness, but ultimately, here's how it works. The more you pursue unrestrained pleasure for yourself, which is called hedonism, the more you pursue unrestrained pleasure for yourself, the more miserable you will become, because if your ultimate goal is just your own personal happiness, you will end up some of the most miserable people on earth. Because really, happiness is a byproduct. It's a byproduct. of living for something that's bigger than you. Everyone that I know that's all about them, they get into a relationship, she's not meeting my need, because I need to be happy. You know how many couples I've spoken to sat down? Hey, you're 5 years into the marriage, she's got a little baby. I know she doesn't make me happy anymore, though. I'm out of love. I was in love, out of love, not making me happy. I want out of this. Give it a try. No, I want to be happy. If I'm stuck with her for another 2 years, I will not be happy. Ultimate hedonism. It's all about me, not her and the kids, not a bigger purpose, not about commitment, not about it. It's all about me. So I step on people, I walk over people, I lie to people, I do whatever it takes because my ultimate goal is that I will be happy and to climb the ladder of happiness. Ultimately, those are the most selfish people on the face of this earth, and they end up alone, they end up ingrown, they end up having burned all their bridges, living a superficial life, and ultimately they end up the most unhappy people on the face of this earth. Because happiness is not in the pursuit of it. It's in the pursuit of your call, your purpose, the worship of God, and the byproduct is your own fulfillment. And you read it in Christianity, you read it, and the way that Jesus put it, no one wants to be a Christian. Now we say, you know, come follow Jesus. We don't say it that much here, but you turn on the television. Some guy with a bad wig is usually telling you, hey, come and follow Jesus and all your problems will be solved and you will be healthy and you will be wealthy and you will be prosperous. And by the way, give $1,000 here and it'll even be better. And we're like, yeah, man, I got problems right now. Hey, honey, bring the checkbook because I want to be healthier, wealthier, and prosperous and let everything be good in my life. That's not how Jesus called people to himself. Jesus said, you want to follow me? It's going to mean death to yourself. Take up your cross. Deny yourself. It's a narrow road. Few people are on it. It's not the wide road. Come and follow me. In fact, you will not, if you lose your life, you'll find it. If you hate your life, you'll finally discover it. In other words, you cannot follow me until you first of all die to yourself. The road to discovering me and following me is the death to self. And then you will truly live. But he also talked about abundant life. I've come to give you abundant life. It's the paradox there. That as I lose myself, I really gain life. As I die to some of my old self, I'm resurrected to a new self in Jesus Christ. And that's what he taught. So the Apostle Paul says, for even the so-called gods, whether they're in heaven and earth, they're not really gods. I mean, you understand that it's just a piece of wood. You understand that it's just a statue. You understand that there's only one God. Although there are many people that, there are many gods that are worshipped, there's only one real God. There's the reality of one God. And he is Lord, and there is one Lord, Jesus Christ, whom all things came through whom we live. So there is one God, but there are multiple gods, because anything can become a God. And here's the thing. I believe that one of the big issues in Christianity is that we have a lot of idolatrous Christians. You say, I love God, my life belongs to Jesus, but really, you have idols in your life. So he's up there, but, you know, he's not at the top. Now, theologically, you're smart enough to understand, yeah, well, he's Lord of all. But the way you live it, he's not really Lord of your life, because your life doesn't revolve around that. He's a part of your life, like your health club is a part of your life, and your accountant, and your studies, and your counselor, you know, they all revolve around something, and you add it to your life because you think, well, a healthy person needs to be spiritual. But, you know, Christianity is not about just adding spirituality to your life. Christianity is about your life revolving around the centrality of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Christianity. If Jesus is not at the center, you're a nominal Christian. By that I mean that you are a religious Christian but not an authentic Christian. Oh, don't insult me, Pastor. No, I'm not. It's there. There's a lot of nominal Christians. Most of the people in the United States of America, if you ask them what they were, they'd write, if they were in a hospital bed and they had to identify a religion, they'd say Christianity. But it doesn't necessarily mean that they're authentic followers of Jesus Christ. That is their religious upbringing. That's their tradition. That's who they add to the mix. That's who, if they're on their deathbed, or if they have to get married, or if they have to get buried, or if they have to get baptized, they go to that kind of place. Or on Christmas and Easter, if they have to choose a place to worship, they choose a Christian church. But it doesn't mean you're authentic Christian just because your tradition is Christianity. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a relationship with the living God through Jesus Christ, and Paul tries to describe that. Thirdly, I'm running out of time here. We must gain control of reckless testimony. Notice what he says in verse 7. He says, so a man ought not to... Verse 7. But not everybody knows this. Not everybody knows what? Not everybody knows that these idols are not real. I remember a few years ago, I was talking about just kind of this main topic here, and a lady brought... She said, okay, I was saying if you're praying to anything else besides the living God, if it's some sort of relic or statue or something that you have in your house, listen, the Bible has a name for that. It's called idolatry. It's breaking one of the Ten Commandments. So you need to get rid of that. You could call it a relic, and you could call it your helper, call it whatever, but the Bible's clear about that. So a lady brought me a bag with all of her little statues in it. And it kind of reminds me of this, because she said to me, listen, here, I'm bringing you a bag. I'm getting rid of it from my house, but I don't want to break them myself. Okay, and her mind, she was saying, I know there's one God, but she was also thinking, but man, what if, you know, they got power? So she said, I'd rather you break them. Said, thanks a lot. So if anything bad happens, it happens to you, not to me, kind of is what she was saying. So I remember I went in my back alley and I had an idol bashing party. I just got my hammer and busted them all up. My neighbors probably thought I was a little wacky, but I was busted up the idols. But in her mind, she knew that there was one God, but she also had this sense of, but maybe there's something to it. And he's addressing those people in verse 7. He says, but not everybody knows this. Some people are still so accustomed to idols that when they eat such food, they think of it as having been sacrificed to an idol. And since their conscience is weak, it becomes defiled. But food does not bring us near to God. We are no worse if we eat it and no better if we do. Here's the thing. He says, of course there are no gods, and it's just a piece of meat, even though it's sacrificed to a pretend God. There's really no power behind it. But for the person that really believes that there is a God, it violates their conscience if they eat it, because they're feeling like, I'm getting involved in something that had a hold on me before. Modern day illustration. Nothing wrong with listening to music that's not Christian, or people that, artists that aren't Christian. But here's the thing. You put on some tune that says, hey, you know, it's a nice tune, I like to listen to it. And the person that's next to you that's been a believer for about 6 months to a year, that's what they used to listen to when they were partying all night and getting down and you know, going at it in their crazy days. And so what that music does to them is it stirs up all those memories. Has that ever happened to you? Certain music stirs up memories in your mind? Okay, go like this. It's okay. I'm not saying you're a party freak or anything. Just okay. It's okay. And you just don't want to listen. Like, you associate certain songs, certain people, or bad seasons in a bad relationship or whatever. And it draws you back to those days. And so for the person that's listening to him saying, hey, this, I like the beat to this. But for someone else, it stirs up all these old things and almost all these old memories and all these bad, these memories that take them back there and become a stumbling block for them. Now, is there anything wrong with the song? There's nothing wrong with the song, but there's something for that person that's listening to it. Doesn't do anything good for them. It violates their conscience, and therefore, as a person of maturity, I need to say, hey, if this really is not good for you and violates your conscience, then I need to stay away from it and not even listen to it. Especially if I'm around you, because it doesn't do anything good to you or for you. See, it may not violate my conscience, but it violates their conscience. And if it violates their conscience, out of love, I need to say, hey, then I'm not going to go there.
That was Pastor Mark Jobe and his message called Steering Clear of Reckless Freedom. Join us again tomorrow as we go into part 2, The Power of Yielding Your Right of Way, which is from our series called Out of Control. As I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of this message or the entire series, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you with your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message or the entire series, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping. We'd love to invite you to check out a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 24 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago and the surrounding areas. You can check out all of our locations and the times that we meet at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would really love to meet you, and please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that this broadcast has been a blessing to you, and we ask that you join us again on the next Straight Talk. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate your listenership. On behalf of Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself, have a great night, and God bless.